worship you, Lord, and we magnify your name. We thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a mighty work in the earth today. That, Father God, that you did a mighty work in Bible times, that you're doing a mighty work today, that the work that you are doing in Bible times is continuing on. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves mightily in our midst. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to the cross, redeeming us, making it possible that we may have a relationship with you and fellowship with you. We thank you that we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, new creations in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, that we've been justified, that we have peace in our hearts because of what you have done in our lives. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you, Father God, for all that you are doing in our lives, helping us. You took us from where you found us, from where we came to you, and you've worked on us, changed us, transforming us, making us into the kind of person that you want us to be. We thank you that you're doing a mighty work in us, and we give you praise, Father. Thank you now for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us tonight, helping us to speak as we ought to speak, minister as we ought to minister, that every need be met. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? Isn't that right? Now, how many of you have heard about Jesus for so long that you're just kind of tired of hearing about him? Anybody? No? Good. You know, sometimes people get that way. I've met some people like that. But see, they don't really have a revelation of what Jesus really did. And I want you to just never get tired of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, what he's continuing to do in our lives today. And I want to just tell you, not only what he did then, but we're thankful for the that he saw fit as he prepared to leave. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, one like me. He talks like me, acts like me. Matter of fact, he will continue the ministry that I have here on earth that you've seen. He said, I'm going to continue it through believers. Amen. And so we want to just make sure that we stay thankful for what Jesus did. And one of the things that we all endeavor to do, and I think probably everybody in this room, and I'm certainly most of the people that are watching, and is that we admire people that are led by the Spirit of God. There are people that somehow manage to follow God's plan and end up doing extraordinary things. Things beyond the norm. And so I think all of us tonight in this room, and again, most of you that are watching, I would say it this way. We could all say that there are times when we are led by the Spirit. Now, Spirit-led moments. And so we have worked to get that more often. Isn't that right? And I believe this, that God wants us to have Spirit-led lives. A life that is of being led by the Spirit of God. And as we look in the Bible, we see that there are people that were led by the Spirit of God and saw the value of being led by the Spirit of God and being enlightened by the Spirit of God in the things that they were dealing with. We look at David in Psalms 18:28. I'm just going to read you a number of scriptures. And the reason I want to read these to you, because they all in one way or another reference or refer to being led by the Spirit of God. And sometimes you just got to get a bunch of scriptures together and start reading them. And it'll help you to become more developed and more sensitive to being led or in the area that you want to be in. So these scriptures, Psalms 18:28 says, "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." How many of you have ever been in the dark about something? But David said this. He said, "He will enlighten my darkness. He will remove the darkness and enable us to see." Solomon said this in Proverbs 20:27. He said, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depth of his heart." And so we see that the spirit of a man, that is our heart, the inner man on the inside, is the lamp of the Lord. In other words, the Lord lights our candle, you would say it this way. In other words, he will enlighten us in our heart. And then as we meditate on that, it comes to our conscious mind and we're able to know what to do. Jesus was led by the Spirit. It says in Luke 4:1, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so how many of you have ever had opportunity to question where you're at? It turned out the place where you're at's much more difficult than you thought. You wondered, why in the world am I here? I think maybe I missed God. Well, you know, God doesn't always take you down the smoothest road. I found that out. Isn't that the truth? I wish that, you know, God did not designate Christian living to be interstate traveling. You know what I'm saying? There are some country roads that we take. And there are some places we go where there we wish there was a country road. You understand what I mean? So now let's look on. In Acts chapter 15, there were a group of ministers gathered together at a crisis about some things in the church, about whether to enforce Jewish customs upon Gentile believers or not. And so when they finally reached a decision, a verdict on all of that, and thank God they felt led not to impose that on us, you know, us Gentile believers, you know, that are not Jewish believers. And here's what it says in Acts 15:28. Said it, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit is simply something that seems good to us and the Holy Spirit on the inside. "To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." And goes on and talks about what they thought would be necessary. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Paul said this. He was endeavoring to follow the Lord in ministry. And here's what happened. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So the Holy Spirit gave them some directions. He said, "Don't go there." And then verse 7, "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." So the Spirit led them again, saying, "Don't go there." And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with them, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, listen to this. Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. In other words, we were not going to go to Asia Minor. We were not going to go to Bithynia, but we were supposed to go to Macedonia. How many of you, there are certain places that God wants you to go? And so it's important to find out that where God wants you to go. Amen. I know some people that just traveled and went someplace and tried and said, "Well, I'll just go where I want to and ask God to bless it." Well, that's good as far as it goes, but sometimes more is needed than that. Isn't that right? Acts 27, verse 9 through 10. Here Paul is, they're getting ready to go to sail. And he said this, "But now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, 'Men, I perceive.'" Do you notice that? "I perceive." In other words, he got some kind of leading on the inside. He said, I just perceive, that's the way he put it, that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. And we know this, the rest of the story was, they did have, it happened just exactly like that, because the people that operated the boat didn't listen to Paul. And so now we go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. Here's what Paul said. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That tells us that we should be able to expect to be led by the Spirit of God, and that God would desire for us to be led by the Spirit of God. He didn't say that these are the preachers of God. He said these are the sons of God, or the children of God, we might say. And so indicating this, that every one of God's children has the potential of being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Isn't that right? And then he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we know this much, that God does not lead people by fear. Isn't that right? He leads people by assuring them that he's their heavenly Father and he's going to lead them in the right direction. He goes on in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness or gives testimony within our heart or agrees with our heart, my heart, that we are children of God. How many of you are children of God in this place tonight? And so you would know that because, in part because you know there's a witness on the inside. There's a knowing on the inside. You know you're a child of God just as much as you know your own name, don't you? Isn't that right? And so we see then that Paul is instructing people to be led by the Spirit of God. There is a witness on the inside that can help you to determine when you're on the right track and when you're not on the right track. And so that we are children of God. And if that witness is in operation on that most important thing of being led, of letting us know that we are children of God, how many of you know that's a very important thing? Then I believe this, that he would also bear witness with our spirit and a lot of other things. Isn't that right? How many of you have ever had challenges along those lines of wondering whether it's the spirit or what is this? What's going on inside of me? One of the things that's helped me is to go back and just remember how I feel about being a child of God. And I have that assurance. I know that. And then I bring that same feeling forward into the situation I'm facing. And there, sometimes that'll help me to just kind of sort some things out. How many of you have ever had to sort some things out? And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Or as one translation points out, be the umpire in your heart. In other words, determining, how many of you know what an umpire does? Calls watches the plate and calls it a ball or a strike. Isn't that right? Or if it's a base umpire, they'll call you out or safe. And so it's one way or the other, isn't it? And so you see, he's indicating that the Holy Spirit on the inside, the peace of God on the inside, is going to call, let you know whether you're in the will of God, following the Holy Spirit, or whether you're not. And I believe that we ought to put our confidence in that. Determined to be confident in that. I know some people that doubt their heart and just don't have much confidence. But you know, sometimes you got to go back and just decide to believe some things in that God has already done in your life, and use that as a reference point to things that you're currently working on. Isn't that right? For example, you might be challenged in how God's wants in a situation right now. How's God going to take care of you? Well, here's the thing. Go back to past experiences. Hadn't God taken care of you before? Didn't God take care of you? Didn't God do more than you thought he would? Hadn't he always brought you through? You might have gone through some difficult times, but didn't God bring you through? Don't you think God will do just as much this time? Won't he do that? Isn't that right? So I want to just tell you that. Now, seeking God becomes one of the top priorities of people that I see in the Bible that were led by the Spirit of God. In other words, they were God seekers. They spent time seeking God. And so we just encourage people to seek God. There's a great value in setting time aside. We live in a busy society, busy schedules, lots to do. And here's the deal. If we're not busy, we get busy about something. If nothing else, we grab our phone. If nothing else, we got a tablet going. I just recently, just tell you the truth, I had my tablet with me the other day and walking along, and all of a sudden it slipped out of my hand. And as it fell, the case opened up nicely and it fell right down on the screen. And it busted it. And they have to order the part. But this has been one of the quietest times I've had in a long time. Actually, I've thought to the Lord. Now this has turned out to be a real blessing. I found out how busy I really was with it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that I was being bad with it. It's just that we were too busy. And so we need to make time to seek the Lord. Matthew 6:31. Let's begin reading there. Hallelujah. Let's just begin reading there. And it says here, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How many of you thinks he knows what you need? He knows, doesn't he? Look at your neighbor and says, he knows. And then verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I found this out. That people are busy with legitimate concerns. It's really, you know, some people are very busy. They're working 2-3 jobs trying to get needs met and everything. And that's commendable as far as it goes, isn't it? In other words, they're not just sitting around being lazy or anything like that. Thank God that we're able to work. Isn't that right? But that only goes so far. But I've seen a lot of people that get overly concerned. What do we mean by that? Because in our pastor referenced and talked about Christianese this morning, or religionese, is that what he said? Anyway, and so sometimes we don't admit that we worry, but we are concerned. In other words, we don't criticize, we just make observations. And that, how many of you found that out? Well, anyway. I said, Brother Yoda, would you go back to what you were preaching about? All right. So anyway, so it says here, don't worry, saying what you want to eat and what you want to drink and what shall you wear. You might say also add to that, where are you going to live? And what your transportation is going to be and the job you're going to work and all of that. In this room, there are people looking for jobs. Any crowd this size, you just know there's some people in this room that are looking for a job. Well, listen to me. The Bible says not to worry. You go seek a job, you know, you go do what you know to do, but don't worry. Don't get over into being anxious about it. Don't be overly concerned about it. Come on now. Why is that? Well, hadn't he taken care of you before? Isn't he going to do it again? Hallelujah. I always like this thought. The Bible says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. So however much God took care of me in the beginning, it is really nothing compared to where I'm headed to. In other words, if I'm following him, it's going to get better and better. More glorious and more glorious. Doesn't mean I don't have any problems or trials, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to bring me through in grand style. Hallelujah. So anyway, let me read a couple of translations of Matthew 6:33. Very interesting. Phillips' New Testament says this: set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness. Set your heart. How many of you know there's a lot of things in your mind, but there's a lot less things in your heart? In other words, there's a lot of things you can think about, but there's some things you hold dear inside. Isn't that right? And this is one of these things. He said this: set your heart on the kingdom and God, and his goodness, God's goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. One thing after another. One thing after another. If there's one thing you can count on, is that God will do it again. God will do it again. The devil will come along and say, now that was good, but you can't expect that to happen again. Well, maybe not. I'll just say it this way. You know, maybe you're right, devil. I just expect something better. Amen. So we have to work on that. The New Testament for everyone says this: instead, make your top priority God's kingdom and his way of life. There is a way to live that God wants you to live. He said, make that top priority. And he says, and all these things will be given to you as well. The International Children's Bible says the thing you should want most. Couldn't it get any clearer than that, should it? Could it? It says the thing you want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all these other things you need will be given to you. But now listen to the Message Bible. The Message Bible says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God's provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Isn't that right? But the key is this: steep your life. How many of you have ever had a cup of hot water and what did you do? You dropped the tea bag in. Isn't that what you call, you steep the... Help me out. How do you refer that? Steep the tea? Is that how you say it? Anyway, but in other words, it's all soaked through. You're saturated. Isn't that right? And that tea flavors that whole cup. Isn't that right? You need to steep your life in the things of God until the things of God flavor your life all the way around. Isn't that good? I like that, what the Message Bible brings out. Now notice up here in verse 32, it says, after all these things the Gentiles seek. Notice what it says. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Now it's an interesting thing, not a big deal, but I will tell you this, the word seek in verse 32 and the word seek in verse 33 are two different Greek words. One of them, in verse 32, it means this. It is actually the Greek word episteo, and it means search, inquire for, intensively to demand or crave. And we know the world is busy doing that after the things that they're concerned about. But now, verse 33, the word seek is the Greek word zeteo, and it means to seek, specifically to worship God. There's a whole lot more there. That's a whole different level. We're not just to crave and to demand, but we are to worship God. How many of you know we need to get ourselves wrapped up in God? Sometimes I think we're guilty of seeking God for the things we think we're going to get out of it. How many of you know that the greatest moments that you could have with God is just to simply have a moment where you and God enjoy each other. Isn't that right? The times when you enjoy each other. And I want to tell you, listen to me, there's the challenge comes then to not get into the world's way of seeking after God, but to seek God in the way that he desires, that is, with an element of worshiping him. In the way, it should include times of worship. Times when we just worship God for who he is and just enjoy his presence and spend time glorifying him. If we hear something, great. If we don't hear something, still great. We had our time with God. That's wonderful. And that is such a tremendous thing that we can do. And as we do that, I can just tell you this. I've been reading Brother Hagin's book on how you can be led by the Spirit of God. Highly recommend it. I keep it close by. It's on my short list of books that I keep, that I read periodically. This one I read once or twice a year. And but I noticed this about Brother Hagin, that he wasn't seeking God for a vision or for a word from the Lord most of the time when he got those, the things that we know about him that he had as a minister, as a prophet. You know, he wasn't saying, God, it's time for another vision. He didn't know. He did not seek those things anymore at all. But he sought God. But he sought the Lord. Isn't that right? You say, well, if I seek the Lord, will I get those visions? There we go again. Do you see what I'm saying? Here we go. See, if we're not careful, we seek the Lord for what we think we're going to get out of it. You know what I'm saying? All these other things. When I seek the Lord, I tell you, it takes work. I know. It takes work to seek God for the sake of seeking God. Just seeking God. So I want to enjoy you, God. It takes some effort. Listen to this. It takes some effort to set time aside to do that. To get to the place where there's no distractions. That's a challenge nowadays, isn't it? To get to the place where we're not thinking about this or that. I noticed my mind works very well. How about yours? Yeah. My mind, that means typically from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, my mind's working. It is going. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, let me tell you something. I think we miss out on God's best by not taking some time and just seeking the Lord, worshiping Him, and allowing Him to minister to us as He sees fit. And getting to a place of no distractions, having an attitude of being in submission and worshiping God, and just walking out pleased that we were able to spend time with God. Not so much rejoicing in the word that we heard or the direction that we might have gotten or the things that we know are coming because we're following God. How many of you know that those things are a given? Things will come as we follow God. Isn't that right? Bible doesn't say to seek those things, but to, now it doesn't mean that you can't ask Him for it, because we're not saying that at all. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible tells us to ask Him. But doesn't, that's a whole lot of difference between asking and seeking. And you know what I'm saying? Because when you start seeking something, evidently, it's something that becomes a priority. And I don't want anything to take priority over what God has for us. Amen? So, I want to seek God. I'm going to work on getting all the distractions out of the way, getting my mind off of the things, and getting my mind on God Himself. But that can be a challenge sometimes. Sometimes you have to take some time to get quiet. How many of you ever, when you drive your vehicle, you know, it's kind of like this. You drive your vehicle, you can shut it off, but it stays warm. And it takes time for it to cool off. Same way with us. You can stop doing what you're doing, but I want to tell you something. It seems like your mind keeps moving on. And it takes time for your mind to slow down and relax and just focus in on God and get to the place where we're not thinking about all those other things. So I'm going to give you a couple of keys to help us in seeking the Lord and being sensitive. The first one is to learn to be quiet. How many of you ever met somebody that they're their own drama team? Anybody ever met somebody like that? I mean, the room can be perfectly peaceful until they show up. Anybody ever met those people? I mean, you know, It's just one of those things, you know. If there's no drama, they create some. And I've met people like that. I thought, whoa, what happened? Well, the drama team showed up. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. There's something distracting about that. You know what I'm saying? And I noticed that whenever that kind of thing's going on, the sense of peace leaves. Colossians 3:15 said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And what it does, it doesn't mean that peace leaves our heart, but we certainly become less sensitive to it. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to work on being quiet. Doesn't mean that I don't speak. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know you can talk and have a conversation and still have a quiet spirit on the inside? In other words, you can be talking to somebody and listening on the inside. Isn't that right? We're not so busy that we don't have time to listen to God speaking to us. In other words, we're moving at a pace whereby God can speak to us and we don't miss it. You know what I'm saying? Psalms 46:10 says it this way. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It says, be still and know. How many of you notice the word still comes before the word know in this verse? I know in the dictionary it's the other way around, but in this verse, still comes before know. Now, the Hebrew meaning of the word be still is, how many of you are interested in this? It means be still. The English translation got it right. And so we need to be quiet. Just quiet down. I take moments where I just purposely quiet down because I sometimes I'm too busy. I can tell you that. We all find ourselves there. The challenge is for us to just grab those quiet moments when we can. You know what I'm saying? And so 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, this is about Elijah. He had fled for his life. Queen Jezebel was after him, said she was going to kill him, and he had fled. And he was in a cave, and God told him in verse 11, then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Now, then, listen to this. The Lord was not in the wind. Or you could say it this way. The Lord was not in all that commotion. He's not in all that noise. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And we could tell you again, the Lord was not in all that activity. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And so God was not involved in that. And after the fire, a still, small voice. How many of you have ever heard that still, small voice? How many of you have noticed it's easy to miss it? But it's because it's a still, small voice. Do you see what I'm saying? But that's where God is. That's how God speaks, quiet whisper on the inside. And so we need to be quiet so that we can hear. Isn't that right? The second key is this, be flexible. Be flexible. Adaptable. Willing to do it God's way. Jesus was. Luke 22:42, he said this, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, he said, I don't really want to do it this way, but if this is the way you want it, I'll do it this way. I found this out. There are a number of people in situations that I've talked with. There are a number of people that seek the Lord, but they've already made up their mind what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. I know. I could have said that all night and gone back to some scriptures and sounded more, you know, more spiritual than that. But the truth of the matter is, I think sometimes we're just not open to the direction of the Lord. We're just not open. We're locked in on certain ways. For example, there may be people here today that says, "Okay, I'll follow you anywhere, Lord, but to a certain nation or a certain country or a certain state." You know what I'm saying? "I'll do anything, Lord. I'll do anything, Lord, to provide for my family. But, you know," and then there's things they won't do. You know, I'd like to say it this way. There's certainly things I wouldn't like to do. You know what I'm saying? But if it comes down to taking care of my family or moving in the direction that God wants us to go, you know, just be open, be flexible. And I know some people that have talked to me about their business deals, and they're rigid on it. And then they want God's advice on it. Well, if they're rigid on it, why do they need God's advice? You know what I'm saying? Even if God said something, would it make any difference? Do you see what I'm saying? And so we need to be flexible. Here's number three. This will sound strange to you. Be neutral. Number one is be quiet. Number two is be flexible. Number three is be neutral. What do we mean by that? Willing to do whatever God says. No personal ambition. No personal agenda when we come to the Lord. Colossians 4:12 says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." The will of God ought to be a very important thing to you. It ought to be a high priority. Whether you're in business, whether you're in ministry, whether you're retired, or whether you're a teenager or whatever it might be, the will of God ought to be something very important to you. Why is that? Well, it's because that's the best place for you. That's where God can best take care of you. That's where you have the closest relationship with God. That's where you can know that God is walking with you, and you're walking with God, and you don't have to do life alone. Isn't that right? Amen. And so he said that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I found this out. Being neutral is sometimes a process of elimination. Meaning this, I may have certain things that I want, certain ideas, but I'm going to have to let some things go. When the will of God becomes clear, then I'm going to have to let that go. Let my ideas go and take hold of the will of God. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's that way. And so one of the things that I do in seeking the Lord is, I learned this from reading after George Mueller, who sought the Lord daily for provision for thousands of orphans, and had no salary or anything like that, but he just sought the Lord for daily sustenance for those, to feed all those children. And he said when he would seek the Lord about something, he said he would ask the Lord for certain things, for direction, and he said, and then he said, I made sure that I got myself over into neutral, meaning, I don't know that he used exact words like that, but he got himself into the place where he could go this direction or that direction. He could do this or not do that. You know what I'm saying? And he found out that the Lord could easily guide him in that direction. In other words, he stopped being the driver. And he let God into the driver's seat. And I can tell you again, that takes some work. Because we're used to, how many of you like to drive your car? Don here doesn't let anybody drive that Camaro he's got. Except her. A little bit. So anyway, but I'm just saying, now listen to me. I'm not telling you to let somebody else drive it. I'm just simply saying that sometimes in our own vehicles, it's important that we drive. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's kind of that way with our own lives. Most of us, many of us think that it's important that we drive, we're in the driver's seat in our life. And it's good to be being in charge as long as we're flowing in the things of God. Isn't that right? But when it comes to seeking the Lord and determining his will, let God take over. Amen. He said, well, Brother Yoder, I've got some needs. I got some things got to take care of. I appreciate what you're saying, but. You know? Well, go ahead and ask God for the needs to be met. God does not, I'm not telling you that you can't have all those things. Absolutely not. But let me just say this to you. God ought to be more important than those needs being fulfilled. I know people, I've met people that seek the Lord. They're following God as long as he meets their needs. But when things don't go right, they're said, well, forget that. And they're gone. You don't see them anymore. Well, you know, they said, God meet my needs. And he didn't. And so, you know, that I know that doesn't work. Well, how many of you have ever had, how many of you in your Christian walk have ever had something you understood in the Bible and you acted on it and it didn't happen the way the Bible said? How many of you have ever had that happen? Come on now, I've had it happen many times. But I want to tell you something. Let me just tell you this. It's never God's fault when it doesn't work out right. It's always something that we didn't know, something that we didn't do, something that we just didn't hook up right. And tonight, I just simply wanted to share with you that sometimes you got to get your focus back on God, back on God. Adam Clark told the story in his commentary, and he said a king told a particular friend, "Ask whatever you will, and I'll give it to you." And the friend thought within himself, I'd like to be made a general. And I know I'd get it if I'd ask for it. But I'd like to have a whole lot more than that. He said, I'm going to ask for something to which all these other things that I want will be added to. And so he went and asked for the king's daughter in marriage. He said, I know everything else will come with that. And I just, Adam Clark pointed out that's a picture of us seeking the Lord. We need to be assured that we ought to be asking for God himself, seeking God himself. All those other things are going to come along too. All those other things will get taken care of. God's going to take care of you. I said, God's going to take care of you. God will bring you through. He did it once. He'll do it again. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up. I want us to just take a few moments and worship the Lord. And just take a few moments and just thank him for what he has done. Thank him for what he has done. Take a few moments and just begin to thank him right where you are right now. You can do it quietly. You can do it however you want. But just begin to thank God for what he has done. Thank him for being faithful. Thank him for being willing to accept you. Thank you for taking you in as a child, as his child. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father. We worship you and magnify you. Thank you, Father, for all the good things that you've done for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can't begin to list it all, Lord. Just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All the things that I could think about and all the things that you did that I didn't even take notice of. Just want to thank you for them right now. I know you've been busy working in my life all along. Sometimes, Father, I know I told you I appreciated it, but I have to admit there are many times when I took you for granted and I didn't tell you that I appreciated it. I want to tell you tonight, Lord, I appreciate it. I thank you for it, Father. Bless you, Father. Worship you, Father. Thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in time of need. Thank you, Father, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Father, that you've adopted us into the family. Thank you that we're the apple of your eye. Thank you, Father, that you are that you have placed your stamp of approval upon us. That you have lifted us up out of the miry clay of sin and degradation and has set us on the solid rock of your promises. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. That even when we were going the wrong direction, you didn't leave us, but you tried to get our attention. You tried to get a hold of us and stop us and help us to turn around and go the right direction. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Father. Glorify you, Father. You're a good Father. We give you glory, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, to be praised. Lord, where I have kept you from being top priority in my life, right now, I make that adjustment and let you become top priority in my life. Top priority. You, Lord. You, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, give you praise. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you, Father. God, we bless you. We worship you now. Just begin to worship him and just begin to honor him. Just begin to focus in on him. Lift him up. Just worship him. Just worship him. Some of you have things that have been bothering you. Things that have transpired that really bothered you. Now's a good time just to forget about those things and worship the Lord. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Worship him. Just worship him. Glory. Glory, glory, glory.
And I will love you, Lord, my strength.
Yes, worship him.
And I will love you, Lord, my shield.
Yes, Lord, worship him.
And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever,
yes, Lord,
my
worship him. You'll find that the sense of peace will grow greater and greater in your life. And you'll find that the things that were of great concern will not look so big anymore. And as you seek the Lord, you'll begin to see what you hadn't seen before. The things that you couldn't figure out will become clear. There is a life that unfolds as you seek the Lord. And as you seek him and just spend time with him and enjoy time with him, seek him, make him the most important thing in your life. And there you'll find a different way of living, different than the world, and you'll find it is a way of life that transcends the troubles of this world. And though the troubles may happen around you, yet you'll find that you'll be able to live above those things and be able to live in peace in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I encourage you to cultivate this kind of atmosphere, this kind of attitude. You'll find that your life will be different. Absolutely. I can't promise you a trouble-free life or a problem-free life, but I can tell you this, that when you start living like this, you know the solution is close at hand. The solution is close at hand. Hallelujah. Answers are on the way. Glory to God. And you're never alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is always with you. He'll see you through. Amen. Hallelujah. I trust you got something out of this. Encourage you to go get the book if you don't have that. Many of you have it, I know. If you have it, I encourage you to read it again because it'll help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that Wednesday night we have Hour of Power. Pastor Hagin will be here ministering. I know that's the plan anyway. And so we encourage you to not forget that, 7 p.m. Wednesday evening. And of course, Sunday morning we have School of the Bible, 9 o'clock. And we have a church service at 10 a.m., you know. And so if you can make that, you know, it'll be a great blessing to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't believe that Christianity was meant to be lived alone. God put the body together. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You never find, as you're walking along, a finger laying on the sidewalk doing real well. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. That just doesn't happen, does it? You know, it's the same way with a Christian, somebody that's born again, but doesn't attend church. You know, let me tell you something. They make it more difficult for themselves. Hallelujah! So we're doing ourselves a favor by getting ourselves into church, especially in the times we don't feel like it. For then's when we need it most. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. These people up here are standing up here for a reason. They're here to pray with you about anything that you may have need of. Ladies, if you have needs, go over to these ladies over here. Guys, if you need prayer for something, come over to these guys over here. And so we just encourage you to do that. And we believe for you to have a great week. We believe for you to be prosperous and for God to bless the work of your hands in Jesus' name. Every need to be met. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you.